Well, we are coming up on being a month into the fall semester. Congratulations. Give yourselves a hand, a pat on the back. This, by the way, is my son. He's very used to being open and just coming up here and being with me, so I hope that's good with you all, but it's good with me. Don't think I'm distracted. I know he's there. So congratulations. We're almost a month in. You know, the rain outside and the soft gray gloom of the clouds kind of makes me want to curl up with a cup of tea and a good book and a blanket. Okay, let's be honest. I'm a grizzly bear in human clothing. I'm ready to hibernate. The five-month period is coming. I will be sleeping for the next 5 months. Which I suppose makes it all that appropriate to talk about rest this morning. Though as a favor to me, try not to fall asleep now. I won't judge you if you do. I've been told I have a very soothing voice. But maybe for the next few minutes, stick with me. Our passage from Luke in particular is about Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is about both ceasing and abiding. The two most important words translated Sabbath or rest in the Hebrew scriptures conjure up images of not moving, of not doing, of becoming quiet. But they also connote dwelling, staying, or abiding. The phrase that best captures this, I think, is settle down. I think of a group of rambunctious partiers being told to settle down. I think of snow falling softly and settling down in a quiet field. I think of someone finally finding the job they were looking for, the people they want to spend time with, in the place to which they feel called. They settle down, put down roots. Sabbath rest is about both ceasing and abiding. Settle down. Sabbath rest in the Hebrew scriptures is deeply intertwined with two stories, both reflected in our passage from Luke. The first story is creation, of course, God bringing life into this world. When all was good, God settled down with God's creation, walking in the shade of the garden in the cool of the day. God ceased from working so that all of creation could enjoy living. The goal of creation was life. So when Jesus asks, is it lawful to do good or to harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it? He's getting to the core of Sabbath. Jesus seems to be saying, if our practice of rest does not lead to life for ourselves and for others, then it is not a Sabbath rest. It's just not doing. The second central Sabbath story is of the manna in the wilderness. The people are grumbling. They want to return to the flesh pots of Egypt. What a great word, flesh pots. Where they can eat until they are full, but also where they endured slavery. To be called a slave is to be known by what you do and how much you can produce. So in response, God gives them manna. They don't have to till the earth. They just have to gather what's there. And God provides enough on the sixth day so that the people do not even have to gather on the seventh. On every other day, any extra kept overnight would spoil. But on the sixth day, what was kept would stay fresh. And Moses ties this provision of God to the Sabbath. On the seventh day, Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And then, 1,000 years later, the disciples walk in and pluck grain. The creation story is about life. The manna story is about trust. Do the people trust God enough to provide for them in the wilderness, to provide when they cannot produce? Is their identity found in what they can do or who they trust? When Jesus' disciples are chastised for picking wheat on the Sabbath, Jesus replies, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man provides. The dude abides. Sabbath rest is about knowing who we are. We are not defined by what we can do or produce, but rather by who we trust. Sabbath rest is about knowing our limits. We cannot do everything, but we know the one who can. Sabbath rest is about life. We know who created us and who calls us to bring life to others. In some ways, seminary is a time of Sabbath rest. Hold your laughter. Sure, it doesn't feel restful. In seminary, though, we cease from doing other things in order to take up this seminary work. At LPTS in particular, we do this thing called residential theological education. We abide in a place together. In seminary, we come to know more deeply who we are, children of God called to specific vocations, doing not because we can, but because God provides. In seminary, we discover our limits, the limits of our knowing, the limits of our abilities, the limits of our love. In seminary, we come to know more deeply the one who created us and who calls us to bring life to others. Or at least, I hope, seminary is about these things. Jesus seems to be saying that we practice Sabbath wrongly, and so maybe I might say we practice seminary wrongly, if it is only about not doing. Sabbath is about both ceasing and abiding. Knowing that we cannot do everything does not give us license to do nothing. Understanding our limitations does not mean giving up. Stepping out of the stream of life to come to seminary does not excuse us from being a neighbor to every single person we encounter. Ceasing from our labor does not cause us to cease being who God has called us to be. In fact, the very opposite is true. Sabbath forms us in our identity as children of God. Sabbath reminds us that God settled down, took time, walked with God's people in the cool of the day. Sabbath rest, and so too, I hope, our time here at seminary is not about abandoning, but rather about abiding. We don't abandon who we are. We abide where we are and with whom we find ourselves. It's not about retreat. It is about rooting, growing ourselves down deep where we are with those around us, despite the fact that it feels like we're at a retreat sometimes in the middle of a park. When I first started the MDiv program a number of years ago, my wife Sarah and I were newly married. After the honeymoon period was over, halfway into our first year there, we realized that we were both tired and lonely. We were so focused on each other, and I was so focused on my work, that we had not rooted ourselves in any form of community. I don't remember now which one of us said it. I'm going to give credit to Sarah because she's the wiser of the two of us. I choked on that, sometimes choking on the truth. But one of us realized that our major problem was that we were treating seminary as a temporary experience, which it was. We were only supposed to be there 3 years. We ended up 9. We'll talk about that later. But just because the time was temporary didn't mean we needed to treat it that way or treat those around us that way. It didn't mean we needed to treat the people around us as temporary people. It didn't mean we could avoid abiding where we were with the people to whom we had been called in that moment. To do so would be malforming. We made a choice then and there to not live in temporary time. This was not carpe diem, seize the day because life is short. This was Sabbath rest. Settle down. Abide where God has called you, for this moment, in this time, no matter how long or how short that time may end up being. This choice to settle down utterly transformed our seminary experience and our married life. More importantly, it meant living into who God called us to be. Sabbath rest is not an inward-focused experience of vegging and not doing. If anything, Sabbath rest draws us out of ourselves, out of our abilities, out of our concerns, toward the man right next to us with a withered hand. for the grain that God has created for us to glean. It draws us toward God, and because of God, toward others. It calls us to look around and see the gifts God has given, the people, the place, the resources, the life, and then to treasure them. I pray that that would be true of all of us here. Amen.